Good morning. Today's daf in Beitza is Yud Dalet. We're on Yud Gimel Amud Beis. We're halfway down in the Amud, and let's continue. Well, we talked a lot yesterday about Trumas Maisos. Trumas Maisos came up in the Mishnah back in Yud Beis Amud Beis, and so as a result of that, so it gave us an opportunity to speak a little bit about Trumas Maisos. So again, let's just go over some of the basics just to get through the first part of today's daf, and that is that the grains that are just freshly cut, harvested from the ground in Eretz Yisrael. So they are going to be chayv in Trumas HaMaisos, but not yet. In order to be chayv in Trumas HaMaisos, so what you need is you need the gemar. You need to get to the point where you are at the point at finished production. So at the point of finished production. So then and only then is there going to be a chovas hafresh Trumas HaMaisos, meaning it's going to have a shem tevel at that point in time. It would be asur to eat it. The eating tevel would result in a chiv misa b'dei shemayim, and it's at that point in time that the chova has begun. Yesterday, a detailed and somewhat complicated discussion regarding what happens when the Levi comes and takes it prior to the gemar. So when the Levi does so, so he's going to imbue it with a shame, with a shame tevel, even though it's not at the point of gemar yet. Okay, that was yesterday's discussion. That's and admittedly a little bit complicated. In today, however, we're going to be focusing, at least in the first part of today's daf, about the idea of Achilas Rai versus Achilas Keva. So, between the harvesting and the Gemar, so before the Meruach HaKri, before you take the pile, put in a pile, smooth out the top of the pile, and you're at the point of the finished production. So between that, so we are now at the stage where it's not yet Tevel, and you're allowed to eat them in a Torah. You're allowed to eat them in a Torah. Not only are you allowed to eat them in a Torah, you can even sit down, have a meal, so forth and so on. However, the Chachamim said, to eat b'achilas keva, that's not appropriate. Not only is it not appropriate, it's also. So the Chachamim came along and said that once you're eating a b'achilas keva, so even though it's not at the point of the Gemar, nevertheless, it's going to be prohibited to do so. So, from the time that you pick the fruit and grains out off the tree, out of the ground, till the point of the Gemar, so here's the halacha. Achilas arai would be mutter, Achilas Keva would be Aser. And then a lengthy discussion, we're going to have some of it this morning, in terms of what exactly is considered Achilas Keva. What is a Koveya? Right? There are, in total, we're not going to go through all six, but in total there are six things which are a Koveya. Shabbos is a Koveya. So anything that you eat on Shabbos, by definition, is considered Achilas Keva. Okay, and there are other Koveyas as well. Good. That all brings us now to where we are. We are in the Gemara, Yud Gimel Amud Beis, and we're starting with the words Tanan Hausam. And we are learning now a Mishnah in Trumos. It's in Maisros. Sorry. Fourth parak of Maisros. So let's say you're shelling your barley. So you're eating raw barley. So it's raw shelled barley. Rashi points out over here, it's before Miruach. So you're not the point of the Gemara. However, you can't eat it Achilas Keva. So what we're looking to see over here is what's the sweet spot? What is considered achilas arai? So it sounds like from the Mishnah that you can eat it one at a time. So you peel off one barley at a time. You can eat it one at a time. Achachas v'ochel v'im kal v'nasal l'soch yado chayev. However, once you do the klipa, once you shell it and you put and you make a handful, that's no longer considered achilas arai. That's now considered achilas keva. That's no good. Amar Rebbe Elazar v'chein l'Shabbos. Rebbe Elazar says, oh, by the way, the same thing is going to be true regarding Shabbos. Meaning, on Shabbos, we know that there's a malacha called dash. One is not allowed to separate the shell from the kernel from the shell. So that would be an av malacha of disha. However, if you're doing it to eat one at a time, that would be okay. Once you make a handful of it, so now you're in violation of the malacha of dash. So what the Gemara now is doing is trying to make a comparison between what's a koveya legabe meiser, which is considered achilas keva, and now taking that same shear and using it now in order to define the malacha of dash on Shabbos. So Ina, the Gemara says, now wait one second. Rav makafale devasayu kase kase. So the Gemara says, now it happens to be that Rav, when he would sit down for his meal, so his wife would prepare for him shelled barley, whatever, whichever shelled nuts he's eating, and she would make cupfuls for him. And so you're telling me that on Shabbos, once you're at the point of a handful, it's no good? That's not true. So the Gemara says, Rabbi Chia, makafale devasayu kase kase. And oh, by the way, Rabbi Chia also. So his wife would also prepare for him barley, whatever. So, ella, itmar asefetmar. So the Gemara says, okay. So the comparison between the kvius legabe meiser and achilas keva by meiser, and what is going to be defining malacha. So the Gemara says it's not a fair comparison. Don't compare the two. Now, in a moment, the Gemara is going to ask the simple question: well, why not? Well, why wouldn't we? Why shouldn't we compare the two? So hold that. We're put a bookmark in that. We're going to come back to that. So the Gemara says, okay. So now that we know that the comparison fell apart, so the Gemara says, okay. So what about v'chein l'shabbos? Meaning, we do have a statement of v'chein l'shabbos. What is that modifying? So it's going on the seifa and deitmar hamola melilo shalchitim. So menafech al yad yad. So over here, mola melilo. So what you're doing is you're rubbing it between your fingers in order to separate the kernel from the chaff. But you already did that. In other words, we're describing right now where it's already been separated, but now what do you need to do? So you need to be borer. You need to separate the good from the bad. So if you do it al yada yad, a little bit at a time, that's fine. The ochel meaning, right? It's what we learned back in Shabbos, that when you're doing borer, and it is ochel mitoch psolus, and it's miyad, and it's for immediate consumption, so that's fine. The im nafach v'nasal sochek ochayav. However, if you do borer, but a large amount, a large quantity, where it's not going to be for immediate usage, so then that's going to be usur. So that is, now, I'm sorry, by the way, what I didn't explain correctly is that, I'm sorry, I already translated all that to Shabbos, okay? I jumped the gun. So let's go back, let's do that again, but we're not talking about Shabbos, we're talking about kvius legabe trumas ha-maisos. So everything we said is absolutely correct, just not Lagabi Shabbos, but regarding what is a koveya. So we're talking about now these grains, and they were already, the shells and the kernels were already separated, and it's now just a question of actually separating them. So if I do a little bit at a time, that's fine, meaning that's not considered achilas kev, that's considered achilas arayin, that would be fine. But once I make a cheko of it, so that is now going to be considered achilas keva, and that's not good. Meaning now it's going to be asim ad rabbanan to eat without being mafresh rumas amaisos. Now amar Rebbe Elazar v'chein l'shabbos. Okay, and everything we said regarding hafreshes rumas amaisos and achilas keva, so that's going to be true also l'gabi Shabbos as well. That's where now the parallel is going to be a good comparison between the halachas of that which is koveya Lagabe Shumas Amaisos and Hilcha Shabbos. Now, Maskev L'Rabbi Abba B'Mama V'Reish L'Maiser in L'Shabbos Lo. So now the Gemara says, okay, now let's go back to where we tried to compare Disha for the halachas of Achilas Keva by Shumas Amaisos and Disha as it relates to Shabbos. Now, what happened is that the comparison fell apart. The Gemara says, why did it fall apart? Umi Ikamidi Delinian Shabbos Lo Havigamar Malacha L'Maiser Havigamar Malacha. Well, that's really strange, meaning that when it comes to Maaser, you're telling me that's the Gemar Malacha, meaning that's going to be a Koveya. And meanwhile, regarding Shabbos, it's not going to be considered the Gemar Malacha. How come the comparison fell apart? So Maskev v'Rav Sheshes Breider Avidi V'lo V'Hagarnan LaMaaser. So the Gemara says, so Rav Sheshes Breider Avidi, rather than answering the question, but he asks another question, but basically, he says, look, the comparison falls apart. There are many occasions in Halacha where I know what is considered achilas kev l'gabi trumas ha-maisos, and it's not the same regarding Shabbos. Meaning, I'm not giving you a direct answer. I'm just simply, I'm going to show you, I'm going to demonstrate that the two are not aligned with one another. The ha-garnan l'maiser did not, ezu garnan l'maiser. So what is going to be a gorin l'maiser? Gorin meaning that it reaches the point of the gemara. And now it's going to be chayv and trumas ha-maisos. So what is that point l'gabi trumas ha-maisos? So ha-kishu and badalu and mishi yifsiku. So when it comes to cucumbers and gourds, and again, like as if I knew what kind of fruits and vegetables I'm talking about. But the point is that there gets to a certain point in time where it's a finished product. So it talks about mishi yifsiku. Rashi describes over here top flower falling off of the fruit or vegetable. Now, if it happens to be that the flower didn't fall off, but you've made a pile of it, so at that point in time now, it is a koveya lagabi trumas ha-maisos. Now, and the same thing is true regarding onions. So when you make a pile of onions, so at that point in time now, that's considered the gemar. And it's at that point in time now where it's chayv and trumas ha-maisos. Now, v'ilu gabi shabbos ha-maras ha-rema pater. Now, on Shabbos, in your house, says Rashi, not out in the field, but in your house on Shabbos, if you made a pile of onions, did you violate Shabbos? The answer is no. Now, there is a malacha on Shabbos called Maimer, where if you were to gather out in the field all the fruits and vegetables and make a pile of it, that you're going to be, that's going to be an Isur Daraisa, but that's out in the field. In your house, so there is no Ma'amar in the house. So that means to say that even though Lagabi Shumas Amaisos, that's considered Gemar, Lagabi Shabbos, it's not considered a malacha. So basically, I know they're not comparable. So the Gemara says, okay, so all, you didn't explain why. All you just simply did is you demonstrated. Now, that's not nothing. It's still a big deal, but you didn't explain why. So, Ella, my Isach Lememra, Malachas Machshevas Asotorah, Achanami, Malachas Machshevas Asotorah. So the Gemara says, now, in terms of the why, so the why is going to be like this. The definition of what is a Koveya, Lagabi Chumas Amaisos, and what is considered a Malacha are not necessarily going hand in hand. When it comes to the Malachas of Shabbos, so the Malachas of Shabbos, Malachas Machshevas Asotorah, the way Rashi describes it. In fact, I'm going to read the Rashi inside. Rashi is found towards the bottom. The Elamaisach Lememar, Af al gav de la meiser havia malacha le Shabbos malachas machshevashi malachas umnus asar Torah. So when it comes to the koveya lagabe meiser, so you make a pile of onions in your house. But when it comes to Shabbos, it has to be something which is more substantial. Rashi describes it as the malachas umnus. It has to be something which a professional would do. Shenismecha parsha Shabbos the malachas hamishkan beviyakel vaas the malachas machshevas ksiv. Right. In other words, as we know, all the malachos are based on the construction of the Mishkan. The construction of the Mishkan obviously is serious endeavors. They're all serious activities. So obviously none of us are professionals and none of us are constructing. But in terms of the definition of a malacha, in terms of what is shaping a malacha, it's got to be something serious. When it comes to being koveya lagabi Shumas HaMaisos, it doesn't have to be as serious an endeavor. So that's why, fundamentally, there are going to be differences in definition regarding what's a koveya for Shumas HaMaisos versus what is considered a malacha. Okay, I'd cut. All right, that takes us to the end of the first part of today's daf, and we're almost completed and done with the discussion regarding Shumas HaMaisos. A little bit more to go. Ketzad Molel. We're in the bottom of your Gimel Amud Beis, five lines from the bottom, and the Gemara now wants to know, so how are you going to do Melila? Rashi says over here, how are you going to do Melila on Yontov? So, we're going to learn together that you're allowed to do Melila. You're allowed to actually separate the kernel and the chaff on Yontov, and why? Because on Yontov there's a Heter of Ochel Nefesh. Okay, now, a larger topic, which I've already touched a number of times, but I'm just going to bring up once again, which malachas are mutter on Yontov to do because of Ochel Nefesh? Okay, and as we pointed out, it's a difficult question to answer. Malachas like Shechita, Havara, Hotza'ah, and Bishol, and Lush, by the way. You know, I don't bring Lush into the discussion often enough, but those malachas are obviously mutter on Yontov. Those are kind of like the finishing malachas in order to get to the point where you have fresh food, so that's going to be mutter on Yontov. Some of the more earlier stages malachas, it's really unclear. Right, and we quoted Tosfos back on Daf Gimel already that discussed this topic at length. And where do we draw the line and why do we draw the line where we do? So it is a lengthy discussion. However, what becomes clear over here in our Gemara, and Rashi makes this point really clear as well, is that in order to enjoy fresh food on Shabbos, so you can shell on Yontif, you're allowed to shell on Yontif. Now, because of Ochel Nefesh. But because it's Yontif, so you don't want it to be Uvda Dechol, you don't want it to be like a weekday activity. Uvda Dechol happens to be a really difficult category to try to explain and define. Meaning, I don't want it to be like a weekday activity. What exactly does that mean? It's hard. It's a hard parameter to try to explain. But, on one hand, so basically here's the balance. On one hand, the shelling of nuts and grains on Yontif is mutter. That's going to become clear. On the other hand, it's Yontif and you don't want to do it like you do it during the week. You don't want to make it Uvda Dechol. So therefore, you need to do a Shinui. That's the basic point of the Gemara over here. And the Gemara says, and how do you do the Shinui? So, Ketzad Molel Abayim Mishmei Rav Yosef Amar Chada Chada. So one opinion is that you're only allowed to rub it between your thumb and one finger. Rav Avya Mishmei de Rav Yosef Amar Chada Tarte. Your thumb and two fingers. Rav Amar Kevin de Mishani Afilu Chada Kulonami. Well, you're only using one hand. Since you're only using one hand, in other words, I guess normal would be between your two hands, But that, of course, is a guess on my part. I don't really know. But in other words, but since you're only using one hand, so there is no limitation in terms of how many fingers you could use. Ketzad min nafeach. Okay. And now another malacha that's allowed on Yontif, and that is barer. We're going to be talking more about that later this morning. So barer is allowed on Yontif. But again, the idea over here is that it should be done b'derech shinui. Again, on one hand, ochel nefesh is allowed. So versions of barer is allowed. On the other hand, it's Yontif, so you want to do it b'derech shinui. So that's the Gemara's next question. Now, I apologize, by the way, because I said the Gemara, but that's not the way Rashi presents it. Rashi presents it over here, and Tosfos presents it over here, that the Ketzad Menafeach is going not on Yontif, but rather going on Shabbos. And right, you saw me stumble. Meaning, I seamlessly transitioned from Yontif to Yontif. Rashi says that's not the right way to read the Gemara. The Gemara over here is now awkwardly transitioning from Yontif to Shabbos. But the Molo question was going on Yontif. The Menafeach question is now going on Shabbos. What does that mean? Meaning they already were shelled. They were shelled prior to Shabbos. And now what you want to do is you just simply want to separate them. So Ketza Menafeach, Amarav Adab Rava, Amarav Menafeach. We are now in the top of Yudal Medalef. Mekishrei Esbosa Vulamala. So on one hand, so to eat it for immediate purposes is fine, but a little bit of a shinui, so only use your fingers, meaning from the knuckles onward. So not your palms. So machola b'marava in Eretz Yisrael, they laughed at that. So kevin de mishane afilu b'kuli yad anami. You're doing it with a shinui. You don't have to limit yourself to just your fingers. So elam revelazim afech b'yado achas of a kol kocho. Just use one hand, and you use one hand, and there is no once you're only using one hand, there's no limitation in terms of what you could do. Right. It is strange. All right, that brings us now to the Mishnah. When Yudala Medal, if we are up to the next Mishnah, Beishama Ormim Tavla Nidochim Bemadoch Shal Eitz VeAmelach Bepach Uve Eitz HaParur. Okay, so here now we're talking about Tochen. So again, now okay, here we go again. Another Malacha on Shabbos is Tochen. You're not allowed to grind on Shabbos. Grinding is one of the 39 Avos Malachos. Anyantiv, once again, there's this idea of ochel nefesh. So you want fresh anyantiv. So anyantiv, so you can grind. Limited circumstances in terms of what you can grind, but you're allowed to grind spices anyantiv. That part's clear, really clear. Why you're allowed to grind anyantiv, that part is less clear. So, but right now, I'll stick more with the what than the why. The what is that you are, in fact, allowed to grind spices, you're allowed to grind salt anyantiv. The question now becomes is there any kind of shinui that's required? So the answer is yes, but to what degree there is a shinui, machlok is between Beis Shammai and Beis Hillel. Now, just to understand shinui, so we have to understand what's normal. What's normal for them to grind is that they have a mortar and pestle. Not only do they have a mortar and pestle, but both of them are made out of stone. Both the mortar and the pestle are made out of stone. That's considered ragil. That's normal. So a shinui would be that they are not going to be made out of stone. Now, there's the madoch and the madocha. So, right, the madoch, that's the mortar. That's the smasher that goes in. And the bowl, that's the madocha, for kind of self-evident reasons. But anyway, that's so the ragil is that they're both made out of evin. And so now we're talking about what shinui is required. And on top of that, also, we're going to be making a distinction between the general spice category, spices in general, and salt. Okay. Even though they both need to be ground up. But the Gemara now, the Mishnah over here, is going to understand that they are different categorically in terms of how much shinui is needed. The basic idea that we're going to see over here is that you need more shinui for salt than you do for other spices. Why? Actually, the Gemara is going to address that. A lot of why questions that I'm just not answering today, but some of them we're going to answer. Okay, so let's start with the Mishnah again. So when it comes to spices, so Beit Shammai says that you do a shinui. It's not a significant shinui. Instead of a stone madoch, you're going to use a wooden madoch. But that's it. However, when it comes to melech, when it comes to salt, be pach uve etza parur. So there you need a double shinui. Meaning it's not sufficient to just make one shinui, but both the mortar and the pestle both have to go through a shinui. Salt needs a greater shinui. But you're allowed to grind it up. Just with a double shinui. Now, Beisil Shita is over here, is that when it comes to Tavlin, Nidochin, Kedarkan. So when you're grinding up spices, no shinui is required whatsoever. Again, for reasons which we're going to articulate. Now, B'madoch Shel Evan, you could use a regular madoch of stone. However, V'hamelech B'madoch Shel Eitz. Now, when it comes to salt, so you're going to use a little bit of a shinui, says Beisil, when grinding up salt. Okay, so everyone see the structure? So salt needs more. More shinui. That part is clear. It's just a question of where we're starting from and where we're headed at. So for Beis Shammai, a single shinui for tavlin, a double shinui for salt, and for Beis Hillel, no shinui for tavlin, and a single shinui for salt. Now, de kulam emiel melech by shinui, so the Gemara now makes a simple observation. By salt, everyone requires a shinui. My time, Ravuna Rav Chisda, so the Gemara is going to give two explanations why it is. So, chanamar kol akideres kulan tzrichos melech, vein kol akideres tzrichos tavlin. So one explanation is that because, look, going into Yontif, you knew you needed salt. Everybody uses salt. Okay, right, my cardiologist and I here today? Good. Okay, so I can speak more freely. So everybody, and you know you needed salt. So that means that going into Yontif, you really should have ground the salt before Yontif. Okay, because you knew you're going to need it. Now, when it comes to other spices, yeah, you don't know. Right, what do you think? You set up a menu before Yontif? Right. I know that's our minug, but back in the day, whatever. Tomorrow we'll figure out what we're going to make. Okay, and whatever spices we need. Okay, so that's one explanation. And so the first explanation is really predicated on the fact of you should have ground the salt yesterday. I didn't grind it yesterday. Okay, do it today, but with a shinui. So v'chanamar kol atavla mafigin tama malachina mafigatama. A second explanation is the potency of the salt. You grind the salt yesterday. Salt's going to be just as quote unquote fresh today as it was yesterday. But when you do other spices, so we know there are obviously basic differences between a spice that's ground yesterday versus today. So it's freshness. So the Gemara says, my benayu. So the Gemara now, based on these two explanations, they're nafkamina. Zika by now, diada my kidera by livishule. So let's say that we made a menu. So if we made a menu, so if you're going with the first vara, so then you should have ground the spices yesterday because you knew what you knew you needed it. On the other hand, but if you're working with the second explanation, it's the function of freshness. So what difference does it make whether you knew or you didn't know? Even if you knew, but it's not going to be as fresh, the spices are not going to be as fresh when ground yesterday as if they were today. Okay. Inami b'marika, the Gemara says, what about another nafka? I mean, it would be karkom. Now, karkom is tavlin. It's a spice on the other hand. Eino mafik tama, and it just simply doesn't diminish in its potency. You could grind it yesterday, and it'll taste just as good today, had we ground it today. So if you're working with the svara you didn't know. So over here, you didn't know. If you're working with the svara of freshness by karkom doesn't matter. Okay. Amar of Yehuda Mashmo kolani dochen idochen kedarkin vafilo melach. So the Gemara quotes B'Shem Shmuel a significant kula, and that is that you can grind salt on Yontif. You don't need to make a shinui. To which the Gemara's reaction is, what? Right? We just saw the Mishnah together. Everybody demands a shinui when it comes to salt. What's Shmuel talking about? So that's the Gemara's question. So veha amart melech by shinui. So hu d'amar ki aitana d'tanya. So the Gemara says that Shmuel favors the Braisa. Now it's interesting that the Braisa is obviously not going to be in agreement with our Mishnah. It makes it even more interesting that Shmuel is going to favor the Braisa over the Mishnah. Generally speaking, when we're weighing a Mishnah against the Braisa, we normally opt with a Mishnah over a Braisa. So it's certainly a curiosity, but apparently he must have had some Misora that told him that the Braisa is more authoritative, it's more accepted. Anyway, the Braisa. What Braisa? The Gemara quotes. D'tanya, Rabbi Meir lo nechuk b'shamay b'shal al nidochen shin nidochen kedarkan. Umelach imahen. So in the Braisa, Beis Shammai Beis Hillel says that if you're grinding spices, you could do it on Yontif with below shinui. And according to the Braisa, agreement on that. And even if you're going to be doing salt together with the spices, again, no shinui. What's the machlokus? Lo nechluku elo ledocha bifnei atzman, shebeis shammai omri melach befachu ve'etz, haparur, litzli, aval lo lekedera. So Beis Shammai will tell you that when it comes to salt, so you have to do a shinui. And if that's the... And that's if you are using a little amount of salt. Now, when I say little, how do I know that? So, litzli. So, when you're roasting meat, so you don't need a lot of salt. Because in terms of extraction of the blood, that's going to be done via the roasting. So, what are you doing salt for? Salt is to taste. However, likdeira, but if you plan on cooking the meat, so the first thing you have to do is you have to extract the blood. How do you extract the blood? So, that's malicha. There you need a good amount of salt. So, over here, when Beit Shammai says that you're allowed to grind, that's only litzli, but avalo l'kedera. Uveisila omrim bichol davar. Now, Beis Hillel says bichol davar. Now, immediately, the Gemara edits that last part of the braisa. Bichol davar sagadavcha, ela ema lichol davar. So Beis Hillel says that it really doesn't matter whether it's Litzli or whether it's Likadera. In other words, you're allowed to grind salt on Yontiv and Afilu, Afilu Kedarko, even in the normal manner. Anyway, what comes out according to this Brisa is that Beis Hillel is a significant Mekel. Not only does he allow you to grind Tavlin on Yontiv Beli Shinui, he also allows for the grinding of salt Afilu Belo Shinui. Good. So that's the version of Beis Hillel presented by the Brisa. Shmuel opts with that version. Now, Amalei Rav Acha Bardala Lebrei. Rav Acha Bardala says to his son the following, Ki Dayichta, Atzluye, Atzluye Vidoch. So he says, look, when you grind, even salt, so what I want you to do is I want you to take the grinder and put it on its side. Rashi explains over here that this Amara, Rav Acha, really he subscribes to Shmuel. Meaning Shmuel presented a significant heter, and this Rav Acha sides with Shmuel, but right, the way Rashi sounds like he's saying, but he's still not perfectly comfortable to do it. Totally below Shinui? All right, so let's do the following. Let's insert now a mini Shinui. Now, why? I don't know. Meaning, if you're going with Shmuel and no Shinui is required, so why now is he insistent on some form of a Shinui? So I don't know. But that's what he wanted. And the small Shinui that he wanted is just simply to take it. Normally it's held in a vertical position. So put it on some sort of tilt. Rav Sheshet Shama called Buchna. So Rav Sheshet heard somebody grinding on Yontif. It was coming out of somebody's house. So Amar Hai Lav Migavi Debeise. So Rav Sheshet says, look, I don't know who's doing it, but it's not coming from my house. Nobody's grinding in my house. So the Gemara says, now wait one second. Vidom Asluye Asluye. So the Gemara says, now wait one second. We just learned together that with a small Shinui, it would be fine. It would be perfectly acceptable. And that was the Shita of Shmuel. Well, Shmuel doesn't even require any Shinui. But Rav Acha says a small Shinui would be fine. And the Gemara assumes that that is the accepted position. So why couldn't it be that it's coming from your house? And they put the grinder on a tilt. So Deshamidav Salo Kale. So he says, look, no, the sound produced when it's on the ground versus when it's on a tilt, different sounds. Okay, he was sensitive. He was able to pick up the difference. V'duma tavlin havu? So tavlin nevuche menavich kalayu. Now, they could be grinding spices. We know of that by spices. So even from our Mishnah, grinding spices on Yontif is perfectly acceptable below Shinui. So maybe it's spices. So to that he said, if it were spices, it'd be making a totally different sound. Like, aren't you sensitive to the sounds that spices make when they're ground? My response would be no, but okay. So to Tanur Rabbanan. Okay, so more on the act of grinding. So what we learned together now is that when it comes to spices and salt, so their grinding is allowed on Yontif. Tochin is allowed on Yontif as it relates to the grinding of salt and the grinding of spices. Okay, now what about food? Are you allowed to grind food on Yontif? So that's going to be the next part of the Gemara. Admittedly, these halachas are not easy. In other words, there are going to be fine distinctions and minutia in terms of these allowances that are on Yontif. Okay. Tanur Rabbanan Enos and Tisni. So statement number one of the Brisa says that you can't make Tisni. What is Tisni? So it's taking a wheat kernel and pounding it out really good. So the Gemara elsewhere, Rashi quotes over here from Moed Katan, other Gemaras as well, talk about when you're pounding wheat, you could pound it into two pieces, into three pieces, into four pieces. Okay, and obviously pounding into four pieces, I'm sure you could pulverize as well, but we're just right now talking about making some sort of porridge, right, hot cereal. So pounding into four pieces, that obviously requires the greatest exertion. And so the Brisa says you can't do that. You can't make tisni. Now Rashi explains over here that you want to pound it into two pieces, that's fine. You want to pound it into three pieces, also that's fine. But to four pieces, each kernel to four pieces, that's too much tircha. But then the Brisa gets confusing, because look at the next words of the Brisa. Ein kochin b'machteshes. Do not use a grinder on Yontif. Now again, over here, can't be talking about spices. Our Mishnah says that spices are fine. It's talking about like what we're describing over here, wheat kernels and things like that. So the Gemara says, now wait one second. I read a really short Brisa and I got really confused. Because in the beginning of the Brisa, it says that you're not allowed to really pound out the wheat into four different pieces, which would indicate then that a little bit of pounding would be fine. But then the Brisa says, "Ein kochin b'machteshes klal." Oh, you're not allowed to use a grinder at all. What? And the Gemara succinctly asked, Tarte, how can these two statements exist side by side in the same brisa? It doesn't make sense. So Hachi Kamar, Ma Tami Nosin Tisni, Lefi Shein Kosher B'Machteshes. So the Gemara says, okay, so here's an attempt to read the brisa The reason why you can't make tesni is because you're not allowed to use machteshes. V'leima in kosher machteshes. So the Gemara says, okay, if that's really what the Braisa wanted to teach us, how about this? How about the Braisa says in kosher machteshes, and that would be sufficient, right? So the Gemara says, itani in kosher machteshes, hava mina hanimila machteshes gedola. Yeah, but, and Rashi says over here, stam machteshes, when they talk about the grinder, it's usually a really large one. Avaba machteshes ketana emeshabridami. So, but if that's all the Braisa said, so then I would have assumed that the default machteshes is large. That's what you're not allowed to use. But if you have like a mini machteshes, so you're allowed to use that. So kamash malan. So the chiddush now is of the Braisa that you're not allowed to use any machteshes, not a large one, not a mini one. So v'atanya kosher machteshes gedola v'kosher machteshes ketana. So the Gemara says, now wait 1 second. I'm showing you a Braisa that says that you're allowed to use the mini machteshes. So Amar Abaye kitanya nami masisa b'machteshes gedola tanya. So Abaye says, okay, you know what? I'm going to try to make shalom between all these Braisas. And you know, and so let's go back. So you're right. So to use a large machteshes on Yontif, that you're not allowed to do. To use a mini machteshes, so that you are allowed to do. But even in the mini machteshes, so it's still not tircha yisera, right? To really pound it out and take a kernel and break it down to 4 different bits, that you're not allowed to do. Okay, that's Abai's understanding. Rava, top of the Amud Beis, Rava Amar Lokasha Halan Vahalahu. Rava says, no, I'm going to make shalom between all the Braises. It depends whether they're talking about the B'nai Bavel or the B'nai Eretz Yisrael. So a common common comment of the Gemara that because of cultural differences that exist between the B'nai Bavel and B'nai Eretz Yisrael, so the halach is different for them. Right? The Gemara in Kiddushin, should you first learn or should you first get married? Right? A basic question, right? A question that comes up to this very day. So which should you do first? So the machlokus between the Amoraim over there in the Gemara Kedusha, Kedushin, and the Gemara ends up saying halan v'halahu. Okay, so, and obviously what you have to do every time the Gemara says this is which halacha applies within which community and why. So interesting, Rashi over here, Rashi writes the following. Halan v'halahu. So halan, Rashi says, as far as us is concerned, now obviously the line is referring to the B'nai Bavel, right? Remember, we're learning Talmud Bavli. So home team, when we're learning Talmud Bavli, of course, is B'nai Bavel. So halan, de leislan avde de mezalzalei. So we don't have avadim. So it's a really interesting comment that Rashi makes over here, that in Eretz Yisrael, they were wealthier. In Bavel, they were poorer. Okay? It really makes you wonder. In other words, if you're living outside of Eretz Yisrael back then, so not only were you outside of Eretz Yisrael, but on top of that, you were poor. Okay? It's certainly strange, but whatever. For whatever reasons, that was the case. And therefore, Rashi says, so it's going to be more problematic. Why? Sorry. For us, it's going to be less problematic because we don't have avadim, meaning we do everything ourselves. Since we do everything ourselves, so we're going to maybe be able to make this distinction of large machteshes, small machteshes, not pounding it into small pieces. So for us, so because we're handling everything ourselves, we're doing all the work ourselves, so we're going to be careful about the halacha. However, in Eretz Yisrael, look at the next Rashi: Halahudi slu avdei de mezalzalei v'osim bigedola v'omrim b'ketana asinu, where they have avadim doing all the work, and so now on Yontif, if the avadim are doing the work, who's supervising? Right? They're grinding, and they say, "Oh, don't worry, we use the small machteshes." And meanwhile, they're not careful about Yontif. Okay, so that's Rashi's understanding of the difference between the two. Rav Papi, a top line of Yudal Amud Beis. Rav Papi, Ikla Lebe Mar Shmuel Aisu Le Daisam Velo Achel. So it was the Yontif, and they came home from Shul, and he was given a cracked wheat, hot cereal. And it was pounded out on Yontif, and he wouldn't eat it. No, thank you. V'dilma M'machteshes Ketan Avdua, so the Gemara wants to know, you know, it could have been done beheter. So we just learned together that on Yontif, you're allowed to use the small machteshes to pound out wheat. So why doesn't he assume that it was done correctly? So the Chazya Davidai Tvei. So he says, no, it was pounded out really fine. It was not done in a small machteshes. It was done in a large one. So Vidilma me esmal avdua. So he says, okay, but again, why can't you assume the best? Dan lekaf schus. Maybe it was done yesterday before Yontif. So the Chazya Davla Kalif Sahare. Nah, the appearance that it looked too fresh. Okay. So v'ibay zemashani be'mar shmuel dika pritzusa da'avde. Or the other reason why he was skeptical, he was doubtful, is because it happened to been that there was a lot of avadim in that house, and so the avadim were doing all the work, and they just simply weren't careful about the halachas of yantiv. Okay.
Lush would be Mutter and Yontif completely.
Correct.
So the whole Ister is what?
Both
the Chol or?
Yeah. Ashino over here, because even though fundamentally it's Mutter, but it's a, right, it's an, I'll go back to the Rashi that you're citing we saw earlier. That's an Uvda de Chol, and it demands some sort of Shinoi. We'll say it like that. Yeah. Correct. Okay, good. Okay. Continuing in the Mishnah, we're on Yudamud Beis. Haborer, Haborkin is Biyamtov. So now we're talking about Brera and Yantov. So again, Brera and Shabbos is one of the 39 Malachas, which is Aser. And once again, because of Ochel Nefesh on Yantov, so a limited version of Brera is going to be allowed on Yantov over that of Shabbos. So when you're doing Brera on Kitnio, so you have the legumes, you have the kernels, you have the shells. So Abar Kitnios Beyamta Beishame Armin Borer Ochel VeOchel. So Beishame says, okay, you know how you're going to do Borer? It will be no different than the way you do it on Shabbos. You take the good from the bad. So on Shabbos, that's the way you do it. And Beishame says it's the same on Yantav. Again, a common theme throughout this entire first perek of Beitza is that Beishame comes out to be a machmir. And now it really highlights, by the way, that first Mishnah that we saw together where Beit Shammai is a makel in that first Mishnah, and then after that first Mishnah, then everyone assumes the regular roles. And so there has not yet been a Mishnah. I'm almost positive there has not been a Mishnah since the first Mishnah where Beit Shammai comes out to be a makel. Okay, so Beit Shammai says that the way you do Barah and Yantav is no different than the way you do in Shabbos, and there's no heterim whatsoever when it comes to Brera, and your Barah, Ochel. You take out the good, the Ochel. Now, Beis Hillel Armin Barer Kedarka Becheiko Bekanim V'Tamchui Avalo B'Tavlo Avalo B'Napa Avalo B'Kavra. So Beis Hillel says no, that you could do Brera Kedarko in the way that you normally do, meaning that you have this big dish of I don't know whatever edible foods there are. There's a little bit of psolus over there, so what you could do is you could pick out the psolus. Yeah, that's fine, and you can't use these larger pieces of equipment. In other words, it needs to be done with a hand, or something that's really rudimentary. Now, I know, right, it's my job to try to explain what these items are, right? Cheko, kanon, tamchui, whatever. Some very basic sorting equipment. So that's fine. But once you get out the sieve, the sift, in other words, once you get out the big equipment, that you're not allowed to do. And Rami Gamliel, Amar Af Mediach V'Sholem, Rami Gamliel says, you know what you're allowed to do on Yantiv? You can even pour water over it. And what's going to happen is that the psolus is just going to flow to the top. A maneuver allowed by Rebbe Gamliel. Tanya Amar Rebbe Gamliel by Medvar Amar Mekisho Chamarubal Psolus. So over here, when are we saying that you're allowed to be borer on Yontif? So that's when the food is greater than that of the psolus of psolus Merubal Ochel. So, but if you have more psolus than you have Ochel, Divrei Hakol No Tel Asa Ochel Meniachas Psolus. So then everyone says is that you have to take the food and not the psolus. So the Gemara says, wait one second. Let's pause over here for a moment to think about it. Psalos meruba ala ochel. So if I have more psalos than ochel, mi'ika man deshare. You can't even handle it. I'm sorry. I don't mean that as an expression. I mean that literally. You're not allowed to actually move it. Rashi over here, a fascinating Rashi over here. Rashi writes that if you have a tarovis, you have a mixture on Shabbos or on Yantav, where there's more psolus than you have ochel. So you know what that's called? That's called muksa. In other words, but there's food there. Yeah, but the food is a miut. And the rove is psolus. So therefore, the whole mixture is in fact going to be muksa. So if you have such a mixture where the vast majority of it doesn't even have to be vast, I'm exaggerating, where the majority of it is psolus and the minority is ochel, so you can't even move it. We're talking about borer. The whole thing becomes muksa. So the Gemara says, "Lo tzricha d'nafish b'tircha v'zutar b'shi'ura." So the Gemara says, "You're right. In order to even start the discussion, you need more ochel than psalos." The Gemara says, "We'll start there. That'll be our starting point. Then, from that point going forward, now the question of whether or not you could be borer like you normally do, meaning picking out the small bits of psalos or or going after the food. So just it's now going to be just a question of tircha. What's going to involve more tircha? And the basic idea is, on Yontif, you want to minimize tircha. So if the minimizing tircha means that you're just going to pick out the psalms and that would be fine, good. Go about it in that manner. If minimizing tircha is that for whatever reason, the psalus is really hard to get at. You're going to have to really hunt after the psalus. And it would just be a lot easier to just take out the ochel, so then take out the ochel. So, okay. So basically, just as a quick summary, so Beis Hillel does allow for, quote-unquote, normal borer on yontif, meaning you don't have to do ochel mitoch psalus. You can, in fact, do psalus mitoch ochel, but we just learned two conditions. Number one, that the entire Tarovas has to be more ochel than psalus. And number two, you can pick out the psalus, but that's only if it requires less tircha than picking out the ochel from the psalus. Okay. Next, Rabbi Gamliel, Omer Af Medech Vishola Tanya Amar Rabbi Lazar Bar Tzarkach Hayman Hagan Shal Beis Rabbi Gamliel. The Gemara here just quotes the Braisa, giving us a little bit more detail of what it was like in the house of Rabbi Gamliel. Shayim Mevian Dali Malo Adashim. So they brought a bucket full of lentils, umatzif and alav mayim, and they would float in water. They would basically dump a whole bunch of water on it. Benimso Ochalamato Psosamala. And what would happen is that the shells would float to the top. Now we have another brisa that makes it sound like the psalus sank to the bottom. So lokasha haba afra ha bigili. So the Gemara says it's really simple. Just a question of what we're describing. So if we're describing the shells are flowing to the top. If we're talking about the dirt, so the dirt is now going to sink to the bottom. Okay, good. But basically what the water is able to do is it's able to go ahead and separate, and on Yontif you're allowed to do that, according to Rabbi Gamliel. Beit Shammai Omrim Ein Meshachim Yontif Ela Manos Oveisel Omrim Meshachin Behema Chaya Va'ov Bein Chayin Bein Shchutim. Sending gifts to other people, says the Mishnah. Beit Shammai says that you cannot send on Yontif, but only prepared foods, manos. So we're all familiar with manos. It's called Mishloach Manos. So on Purim, we have a mitzvah to send foods. And now, our Mishnah here in Beitza, as we all know, by Purim, it has to be prepared foods. So, Ubeisil Omri Meshachin Behema Chai Va'of. Bein Chaim, Bein Shchutin, and Beis Hillel says, no, you want to send gifts on Yontif, it doesn't have to be prepared. You could send an animal. Send your neighbor a wonderful new animal on Yontif, that's fine. It's alive, it's shechted, it doesn't matter. The malacha, no. In terms of sending a gift. I'll answer that a little bit better. We have a short bit of Gemara that we're going to do. And so that'll give me the opportunity to answer that question. So one is allowed to send wine, oil, flour, and kidneys. But not grains. As it relates to grains, so the grains are going to require a lot of processing. And so it's the kind of gift where, thank you very much. Oh, what a headache. What a headache. So Tani Rav Yechiel Vavashalo Yasena Bishura. So the Gemara now goes in and explains that, look, sending gifts would be perfectly fine, but let us be a little bit modest about it. Do not send it bishura. Bishura means basically in a row. Rashi lo yishalech ador na'ide anashim harbe, and not with a lot of people. De avsha milsa v'nirim kemolichem limkor b'shuk. So Rashi over here basically tips us off too. What's the consideration of the Mishnah? Meaning you're sending gifts to your friend. So basically, it starts to look like a marketplace. And it's starting to look like a marketplace, and it looks less like Yontif, and it looks a little bit more like a regular weekday. So what you want to do is that you do want to send gifts. On the other hand, do so in a modest fashion, not bishura. Now, Tana ain't sure p'chus mishlosh b'nei Adam. Gemara immediately defines what that means is that if you're sending with a line of three people that already is considered shura, that's afshamilsa. That's at that point in time, it makes too much of too much publicity. And by Rav Ashi, Talsagav, Vitalsamine, my teku, what if it's three people, but each one has something different they're holding in their hands? Is that considered afshamilsa? The Gemara leaves that question unresolved. I think when I see this Gemara, so I think of Yaakov and Esav, right? When Yaakov is going to meet with Esav, so he sends them gifts and, right, you remember the Rashi over there, right? He spaced out the gift, so the gift kept coming over to Esav. And Rashi over there gives a description. Everyone asks, oh, right, Esav asks, who's that from? Oh, it's from Yaakov, your brother. Next one. Oh, this is from Yaakov, your brother. Right? And you know, and gift after gift, softening him up with the gifts.
How can Rashi complain about near Russia in Korbash Shuk? Well, before we said that you could actually have the multiple place open.
I was wondering the same thing. I don't have a great response. Right as I was reading the Rashi, the same thought went through my head. Okay, good. Rabbi Shimon Matir Betvua. So Rabbi Shimon allows grains. Tanya Rabbi Shimon Matir Betvua kagon chitin lasos mehem ludio saron liten lifnei behemto adashim lasos mehem resisin. And so the Gemara over here just simply points out the various grains and what could they be used for even on a yontiv. Okay, really good. At the time, we're going to stop over here. Tomorrow, we're going to pick it up with the Mishnah on the bottom, Mishach and Kalim. Okay, let's quickly recap. Let's review today. So today, we talked about Kvias as it relates to Trumas and Maisos, what is considered a Achilas Keva, even though it's pre-production. It's before Miruch HaKri. Nevertheless, you're not allowed to eat Achilas Keva. And so we started off this morning, not in the world debates on Yontif, but in the world of Trumas and Maisos, and at what point in time is it going to be considered Achilas Keva? And our first big lesson that we learned today is that even though there is a certain thing that is koveya regarding Trumas and Maisos, that won't necessarily be the same guideline, the same parameter, the same definition as it relates to the Malacha on Shabbos. And the reason why is because Malacha is Machshev is Asra Torah. So that was our first big lesson. Then we talked about doing Malila on Yontif. On Yontif, so you're allowed to separate the kernel from its chaff. You have to do so B'derech Shinui. So we talked about one finger against another, one finger against two, using just one hand, et cetera, et cetera. What about nifuach, separating? Rashi says that's talking about on Shabbos, so you're allowed to do so, but you have to do so biyad echa. You have to do so with one hand, not with two hands. And again, it's like as per the Gemara in Shabbos, it is ocha mitoch solas. It's biyad with your hand and miyad for immediate purposes. Our Mishnah Yudalam and Aleph. So it talks about the grinding of spices and salts, and you're allowed to do that on Yontif. According to Beis Hillel, according to our Mishnah, so spices you can grind kedarko, salt, it needs a shinui. In the Gemara, Shmuel says even salt doesn't need a shinui. He had a variant brisa that went not like our Mishnah, and according to Beis Hillel, salt could be ground afilu kedarko. Even within the Shita of Shmuel, so the Gemara says still you need a little bit of a shinui, taking the grinder and putting it on a tilt. Grinding non-spice, non-salt items, meaning grinding grains, pounding out grains, is that going to be okay on Yontif? Even as a summary, it's tough to summarize, right? A lot of conflicting views that were given to us in the Gemara, going from Yudal Amad Aleph all the way to the top of Yudal Amad Beis. From the conclusion of the Gemara, so if you're worried that people are not going to know how to do it correctly, So then you should be concerned. Okay. Our next discussion today was Borer. So according to Beis Hillel, you're allowed to do Borer on Yontif, even though on Shabbos it's only Ochel Mitoch Psolos for immediate usage, and you have to do it with your hand, but on Yontif, so you could do regular Borer. Regular Borer means you can even just separate the Psolos Mitoch Ochel. So on that, we made 2 points in the Gemara. One is that it has to be where the entire Tarovis has more Ochel than Psolos. Otherwise, it's a davar muksa. And two is that it has to mean that it's going to result in less tircha. If trying to pick out the bad is going to require more tircha, so even Beis Hillel will not allow that. And then finally, the last thing we discussed today was sending gifts. So you're allowed to send gifts on Yontif just below Afsha Milsa. Not to make fanfare out of it, but you're allowed to send gifts. A debate in the Mishnah whether the gifts have to be already prepared foods or can they be foods that need preparation. Good. Adkan, I'll stop over here.